It's time for the Friday edition of The Encouraging Word. You will be encouraged by the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton today. And I don't say that because I have that much confidence in Dr. Wilton, though I do. I would lay my life in that man's hands. But I have the confidence that he is so prayed up and ready that what God's going to say to him, and then indeed through him, it's going to bless us. It really is. Today's title is called Mother's House. We'll open that in just a few minutes together, but the phone lines are already open. We'd love to bless and encourage you. Is there something we can pray for right now about in your life? Give us a call. 866-899-WORD. That is 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Now let's open our hearts and our Bibles with Dr. Don Wilton. The Encouraging
Word. What is it about us men and boys that make us all our lives always want to go to mom's house? Have you noticed that? It's like men and boys. You know, it doesn't matter how old the boys get. It's a sweet thing to go to mom's house. So I came up with the five best reasons in this survey of mine as to why men and boys always want to go back to mom's house. So I'd like to just share these with you. These are the five best reasons that I could come up. Number one, because when they go to mother's house, they always get their favorite food. I mean, it doesn't, I'm telling you now, when I'm at mom's house, it's what I, that's important to her. You can walk through the door. My mother-in-law, my own mom, that's why we go back. I'm just letting some people know. You go back to mom's house because you always get your favorite food. That's why men and boys do that. Number two, here's the second reason why men and boys go back to mother's house. Because they know that mother forgives, but she never forgets. I just want to add that little, mothers forgive everything. They do. And now I'm not talking about myself, of course, because I was such a perfect son as a boy. And mothers forgive. They have this ability to forgive their sons. It's just an amazing thing. But they never forget. Now, you go back. That's why you go back, because they don't forget. All right, number three, this is the third reason why men and boys go back to mother's house, because they can count on mother knowing everything before they get there. You walk into mom's house, there's nothing you can tell her that's going to take her by surprise. I mean, mothers, what is it about you? It's like that all your life, you have these eyes in the back of your head. You have a hidden antenna somewhere. It's just like mothers know. They just know. You don't have to explain something. Just walk in there and they know, which saves men a lot, because men don't like to have to get in there and talk about all this stuff. Just walk in, she knows, get your favorite food and enjoy yourself. All right? Number four, here's the fourth reason why men and boys go back, is because they are absolutely guaranteed that mother will always take their side. And looking around at some of the men and boys here, you need to go back to mama's house quickly. I tell you, the whole world can be against you, but not mom. It doesn't matter what you've done, she's going to take your side, right? Men, would you agree with me? Mom's always on your team. Here's the final one I'm just going to give, because they go back to mother's house because men and boys know that they are guaranteed an invitation to come back again. I mean, it's always. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. Mom always wants you to come back. And they have a big hole in their heart when you don't. Moms, we want to say to you that we really love you, you know, and the cherished memories. There are people here today that have got just most wonderful memories of their mothers. Let's pray together. Lord, right now, with our hearts filled with gratitude for our mothers. We're going to go to the Word of God and we're going to read about a mother's house. And you have something to say to us, something very important. So, Father, we're asking that right now, as we walk into this mother's house, that you will speak to all of us. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts and chapter 12. I want you to take a look at this. We're going to walk into a mother's house in Acts, the book of Acts and chapter 12. There was a dire situation that was occurring. This world was a difficult world. There were a lot of people out there that hated Christians, and there were a lot of sons and daughters that were living their lives, and they were dealing with every kind of stress and strain you can possibly imagine. It was so bad that some of them were even being thrown into prison for it. So let me just read this to you. I'm going to show you something here from God's Word today. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 12. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. And so he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to 4 squadrons of soldiers. Delivering him over to 4 squadrons of soldiers to guard him, intending that after the Passover he would bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison. But earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly, Peter." And the chains fell off his hands. The angel said to him, "Dress yourself, put on your sandals." And he did so. He said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you, follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that this was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along the street, and immediately the angel left him. So Peter, when he came to himself, he said, "Now I'm sure that the Lord has sent his angels and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people and what they were expecting." When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many had gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl by the name of Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she didn't open the gate. She turned around and she ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You must be out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, "No, it's an angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened it, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." And then he departed and went to another place. Just a couple of things I just want to tell you. This was a treacherous time. And people there really hated people who believed in Jesus. And it went all the way to the top. Herod, of course, didn't realize that You come against God, you're going to pay a high consequence. And he paid for that with his life, and in not a good way. Herod did. But at this stage, Herod was the cock of the walk. He was in charge. He was large and he was in charge. And he was angry and he didn't like it. And he wanted to curry favor with the mob of people out there, who many of whom had religion, but they certainly had no relationship with Jesus. Can you imagine one man, Peter, he puts four squadrons of soldiers to guard him, and then those at the gate, and ties him up in chains, and all the things that happen, and God intervenes in an incredible way. And so Peter, in a daze, I can only imagine, suddenly finds himself on the street. Just put yourself in his shoes. All of a sudden, there he is, he's free. How did this happen? I mean, I was really under God. I was in chains. I was going nowhere. My life was about to be in the balance, because if Herod had taken him to the people, the Jews would have done exactly what they did to Jesus. It was the time of the feast. They would have said, listen, go and kill him. We don't need these believers around. And here God just miraculously, by his grace, delivered Peter, and he finds himself. And what does he do? He goes to a mother's house, Mary. By the way, and I'm not going to get into all the background here, but do you know that there are six Marys mentioned, written about, that we meet in the New Testament? Six of them, six by the name of Mary. If you were to have a little quiz right now, would you be able to name the six Marys? Well, let me just name them for you. Mary, the mother of Jesus, right? It's number one. Number two, not in order of priority here. Mary Magdalene, number three. Mary from Bethany. Remember, she's the one who anointed the feet of Jesus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. All right. Number four, Mary, the mother of James. Number five, this Mary that we're reading about, Mary, the mother of John Mark. And number six, Mary of Rome. Paul writes about her in his letter to the Romans in chapter 16, verse 6. She was the lady by the name of Mary who took care and showed him a lot of kindness. So you got six Marys. And this Mary was the mother of John Mark. Now, who's John Mark? Well, he carried two names, which was very typical. This is the Mark who wrote the Gospel of Mark. So what do we know about her son, this mother's house? It helps us to understand something about the house that he went to. All right? It's got a background. There's someone once said to me, listen, if you want to know about a mother, just look at her son. I'm telling you, a lot of truth in that. And this John Mark, we know that he wrote Mark. We know that he was a companion to Paul and to Barnabas. Barnabas? Well, we also know in Colossians 4:10 that John Mark, was the first cousin of Barnabas, which means that this Mary was Jesus' mother Mary's sister. So this is Jesus' aunt. Don't try and figure this all out this morning. Have lunch and then think about it. All right? We know that John Mark eventually assisted Paul in Rome, and we also know that eventually he was executed. He was one of the martyrs. He lost his life. So here's Peter, and he is released from prison. He's not quite sure how to get a handle on this. He doesn't even know how to figure it out. And the first place he goes to is to a mother's house. Wonder why he did that. What would the Bible teach us about that? He could have gone to a number of places, but he went to Mary's house, the mother of John Mark. I think that the scriptures here throw quite a bit of light, and there are some things that we can infer based upon what the Bible tells us about the content of her household, and I've just shared some of those things, even in relation to her son. She was a very special mother. She must have been. So let me just give you five things that God's Word teaches us about mother's house. I think Peter went to this mother's house, first of all, because she opened up her home. She was in all likelihood a widow. In fact, a lot of the theological scholars are adamant about that she was a widow, which means that she ran her own household. And yet, she opened up her home. She probably had a gift of hospitality. And we know that she must have had a lot of wisdom because she managed her own household, and it must have been, by their standards, a fairly substantial household to accommodate gatherings like this. But the thing that's most significant in terms of opening her home was that it spoke to her inordinate courage. Folks, do we realize the threat that was out there in the street? The secret police, people walking around trying to find someone to report. This was not very far from the very prison in which Peter had been thrown. This was right in the middle of the action. And yet this widow had so much love in her heart, she was driven by so much courage that she said, "Come to me." I think Peter went there because she's the one who opened her home. The chips were down. Let me tell you something about we men. We men know where to go when the chips are down. I feel that way in a personal, and we'll all identify. I feel that way with the mother whom I love most in my own life, and that's my wife, Karen. It doesn't matter where I am or what I'm doing or what's going on. When the chips are down in my life, I want to be with her. When the chips are down, I want to be with mom. Because I think Peter stood out there, and if you'll beg my pardon, I'm not trying to read something in you, but I think Peter was in a daze, in a shock. He was hurting. He'd probably been whipped, he knew he was about to be killed, and all of a sudden, he's out there on a street, and it's dangerous. Listen, it was so dangerous that the first thing he told those people when they opened the door was, "Shh, shh, shh, be silent. Stop all this whooping and hollering. There are people listening. They're going to find out. I don't want you to get in trouble. Calm down." Why did Peter tell them all to calm down? That's the first thing he did. I think Peter went to this mother's house because she believed in the power of prayer. The Bible tells us that she was in there praying. This mother knew something. Well, I can tell you something I know about my mother. She never stopped praying for me. Part of my testimony. It's a strong part of my testimony. I really believe my life, even when I came out of the service and all these things in my head, the things I kept seeing at night when I slept, the sleeplessness, the nightmares, the couldn't shake stuff. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Just this turmoil. There were two women that were praying for me. My mother, my girlfriend who very quickly became my wife and never stopped praying for me. I think Peter went to this mother's house because you cannot go to any better place at which the person whose door is open leads in prayer. This mother, you notice something about mothers? They pray regardless. I think that Peter went to this mother's house because she had a mother's heart. We could spend the next long time talking about a mother's heart. I listed some here. I wrote these things down. What is a mother's heart? Intuition. Discernment. Warm. Hospitable. Inviting. Inclusive. Caring. You know, I took my 93-year-old mother's hands in mine on Thursday. I looked down and she's got these little hands. When I close my mind and I think of my mother, I so often see those little hands of hers with her little wedding ring. Those hands are etched into my soul spirit. They're the hands that reached out. They're the hands that touched. They're the hands that loved. They're the hands that picked up. They're the hands that prayed. Bless you, Mom, for your hands that come from your heart. Your hands are attached somehow. If we didn't know the difference, we'd think your hands were your heart. Caring, that just warm embrace. You know, why did Peter, facing death, running for fear of his life, looking over his shoulder, ran to this mother's house? Oh, she's the one who opened up a home because she believed in the power of prayer, because she had a mother's heart, but I think also because she valued the gathered church. This mother valued the gathered church. How many times has your mother begged you to come to church? What is this? You know, here's all this going on, and this mother says, let's gather together. This place that God gives to people like you and me, this New Testament gathering of people where equipping takes place, strategizing, praying, encouragement. Aren't you glad you just came to church? I think Peter went to her house because he understood that from her heart she got it. The value that she had in her heart about the significance of the gathered church. She wasn't prepared to go down that road of saying, look, you know, it doesn't matter. Just do whatever you want to, whenever you want to, and occasionally get with God and you can meet him anywhere you like. She understood that this was a God commission instituted by Jesus Christ that becomes a fundamental necessity in the human predicament. God has given to us his church. But you know, I think that he went to this mother's house, last but not least by any means, because she was a genuine witness. She was a genuinely changed lady. She was charged, fueled by the Spirit of the living God. She was committed. He wanted to be with somebody that was the real deal. Yeah, I find that when I'm with my mother-in-law, I'm with someone who's the real deal. I'm with my mother, I'm with the real deal. I'm with the real deal. When you go into a mother's house, you're in the real deal. It's like everything else. I don't know, I'm not down on us men, but it's like we build sandcastles most of the time, and we place such inordinate value on good things, but that are not necessarily the stuff that holds together in life. Our value system battles. A mother's heart understands the value of just being together, of real love, of what it means to sit down and enjoy a meal together. To just stop, to wrap a gift on a birthday, to say something that means a lot. And above all, you know, mothers, they're such genuine witnesses. They know that at the end of the day, what really matters is that their sons and daughters know Jesus. You can build empires and go places and run for office ad infinitum and pastor wonderful churches, and you can play the stock market. You can even become someone who holds high office in the land and drive a beautiful motor car. And all of these things have their value and their place and are to be celebrated. But you know, I think he went to this mother's house because he knew when he opened that door that the Jesus who sat at her table was the one that really mattered. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord? I want to invite you to give your heart to Jesus. Turn your life over to Him. This is our Savior. This is Jesus. You see, I think John Mark's mother knew that our Savior can move mountains. And in fact, he did when it came to Peter. You talk about a mountain, four squadrons of soldiers, chains. The unlikelihood of ever getting out. My Savior? She pulled them together there and she said, let's talk to our God. He is mighty to save. What a Savior. I invite you today to give your life to Christ. I invite you today to respond. Step out, be bold and resolute. Because God has opened the door of His heart to you. And He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Give your life to Christ. Trust Him as your Savior and your Lord. Be set free, be forgiven. Know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Would you do that today?
I want to just personally speak to you for a minute today from my heart to yours. I hope you're having a great day today. I don't think that there's ever been a more better or perhaps important time for us to respond to this world by standing up for righteousness. I know that you'll agree with me. In fact, with this in mind, I'd like to invite you to become an Encourager ministry partner with me. Together, we can impact lives both now and for all eternity. The Daily Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please, let me ask you to call the number provided at the end of today's broadcast and say, I want to become an encourager. Thanks so much for helping me.
It's been a great week here on The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton, and there are unique opportunities to catch us on television this weekend as well, whether it be the Daystar Television Networks or TBN on Monday. All the details about how to watch as well as listen to Dr. Wilton, even download the podcast, are right there on our website, theencouragingword.org. I pray you drop by and see us over the weekend. That's theencouragingword.org. Or just remember, we're always here to pray at 866-899-9673.